Back to James, because not only does he talk about dead faith in 2:14-17, demon faith in 18 and 19, but then he introduces the genuine article as living faith, starting in verse 20, or as one clever, there's one clever Bible teacher that he makes everything rhyme, and he calls this section dynamic faith. I like to call it living faith, because dynamic, sometimes people equate that with having a great personality. It's just alive. And it says in verse 20, this is what happens when you have living, genuine faith. Do you want to know, O foolish man? Faith without works is dead. Here's some living faith, verse 21. Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see, the faith prompted him to proper responses. Verse 22, do you see faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Okay, three kinds of faith, he says. Watch out this morning, because only one of them saves you. He says, don't have dead faith, which is merely talking. It's in the mind. Don't have demon faith. It's only emotional. You respond, you know stuff's true, and you respond to it emotionally. He says, you need to have living faith, which is life-changing faith. Now, real quickly, let's sketch off what James presents as the seven vital signs of living faith. The first one is in verse 14 and 15. And the first vital sign of living faith is living faith will change the heart. Okay? Change the heart. The bottom line of salvation is a heart change, a heart transformation. In fact, we saw a lot of natural beauty the last couple weeks, but one thing that is the highlight for us anytime we travel are the people we come across. And we spent time, first of all, with a young military couple that we had ministered to in New England and have been transferred to the South, and we stopped and had breakfast with them. And I sat there, I didn't even get to eat, because they talked the whole time about how God was still changing their lives. I met them as they were divorcing. And they were screaming and yelling, and the wife had hired a lawyer and had a whole case and was ready to get half of his military pension and the kids and the house, and she was ready to go. And she was so mad, she couldn't talk hardly without just gritting her teeth when she talked about her husband. And he was just about as mad as she was. And I remember, I said, well, I'll just have one session with you, okay? So at least we can have the Bible introduced here. And that's how I met them. And I remember sitting with them, reading the scriptures to them, and on that first time, you could see a little thawing, and the second time, a little more thawing, and the third time, there were tears. And I met with them for weeks and weeks, and now they're vitally serving the Lord in their church, and of course, they have a great family and everything, all because God changed their heart. And, you know, there's nothing. You can have palatial homes. We saw some of the most magnificent homes in the world. Some of those down on the coast are incredible. I don't know who pays the taxes on them. You can have all that stuff and have your yard jammed with boats. But the only thing that matters in life is what will last forever, and that's changed lives, changed hearts. And God does that. And he said living faith changes the heart. And that's why Don just said, get involved in EE. If you don't like EE, get involved somewhere where you can be in direct contact with people. The only thing that you and I can do that's going to last forever is impact people. Pray for them, talk to them, disciple them, be involved in nurturing them, be involved in teaching them somehow. Somehow get involved with people. God says people are, that's the commodity of eternity. People. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a lot of talent. You just have to invest time in people for Jesus Christ. And when you do that, what you do is you bring this eternal, inspired, infallible book, the Word of God, into their lives. I mean, I can still remember sitting in my rocking chair in my third floor study in the parsonage in New England with this couple just biting and devouring each other. I just sat there and smiled and waited for them to take a breath, and I'd read a verse to them. They'd look at me and scowl, and they'd get back to yelling at each other, and they'd take a breath, and I'd read another verse to them. I mean, there's nothing profound. I mean, you could take a video of it. There's nothing that you couldn't do. I didn't do anything miraculous. All I did is read the Bible to them. And you know what? The Bible is like a hammer. It just breaks the hard hearts. It's like a fire. It devours the chaff. And what I saw was the Word of God transformed their lives. I just read it to them, one verse at a time. And they responded, and God changed their heart. What does it profit, my brethren, verse 14, if you say you have faith, nothing happens? If you see, verse 15, a Christian, a brother, sister, without anything, what he's saying, that's a negative. He's saying that's wrong. But what he's contrasting is the right heart. He says if it doesn't touch you to see someone in need, if it doesn't break your heart, if it doesn't pull on the cords of your compassion, you don't have living faith. Living faith has a changed heart, a softened heart. Listen to what it says in Galatians. This is a good verse to write down. Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's what the NIV translates that verse. Did you catch that? Faith expressing itself through love. That's a changed heart. Now listen. In Luke 10, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. Two of the people that came down that road were very religious, and they really knew the Bible. The priest and the Levite. And those two could defend their faith very well. They just never demonstrated it. Did you catch that? They were dead. Their heart was never changed. They could defend their faith in the one God. They knew all about the covenant of God. They knew all about the temple regulations and all the rigmarole, the rituals. They could defend their faith. They just never demonstrated it. Can you defend your faith this morning? Good. Is it showing up in your life? Is there any evidence from people observing your life that good, godly works are coming out of you? Is there a growing love? Is there a growing joy? Is there a growing peace? Is there a growing gentleness? Is there discipline in your life growing? He says this, living faith, number one, changes the heart. Secondly, in verse 16, the second vital sign of living faith is living faith promotes generosity. You say, wait a minute. Oh, what's that? Did you know it's abnormal to be giving? We are selfish by nature. I have begat with Bonnie 7 selfish, self-centered, wicked little sinners. I mean, they just, if you don't shovel the food into Elisha's mouth fast enough, he will turn red and yell. I mean, he wants it all now. I mean, no one taught. He did not go to public schools to learn that. I mean, he was born with that. He was defiled at birth with selfishness. We are all born that way. And what we see is that living faith promotes generosity. Look at verse 16. One of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and you don't give them the things that are necessary for the body, what does it profit? He says, if you just talk, and if your heart never wells up and you want to give, he says there's no living faith there. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Do you see the essence of God in our lives is giving? It says in Romans 8, but God commends his love. He doesn't just drip it. He's pouring it out at us. It says, Jesus said this in Matthew 25:40, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. To help a person in need is an expression of love, and faith is prompted to love. Well, thirdly, look at verse 17. The third vital sign of living faith is it will produce fruit in our lives. It says in verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And by itself means all alone, just sitting there. And what he's saying is if faith just sits there and doesn't ever blossom, if those buds don't come up and if fruit doesn't come out of it, it's dead. Declare it D-O-A, you know, dead on arrival. It didn't ever come alive. Living faith produces fruit. Listen to what John Calvin, a great pastor from Geneva many years ago, said. If it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies will never be alone. Did you catch that? You can't only have one side of a coin. Works is the backside of the faith coin. And if you only have the faith side, you have a counterfeit coin. You have to have both sides of the coin for it to be genuine. And works is a part of the process. Jesus talks about having faith like a mustard seed, and the seed is a picture of life and growth. And in Mark chapter 4, he says that if you have faith, it will grow and it will produce fruit in your life. Vital sign number one, living faith changes the heart. Vital sign number two, living faith promotes generosity. Vital sign number three, living faith produces fruit. Vital sign number four, living faith demonstrates itself by works. Verse 18, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, James says. I'll show you my faith by my works. Now listen, the person who claims to be one of God's elect, but whose life has not changed, is just fooling themselves. Those whom God chooses, he changes. If God chose you, if God chose me, he changes me. He changes you. This does not mean we're perfect, but we possess a life that can never be hidden. It has been said, we are not saved by faith plus works, but by a faith that works. It's not plus, it's a faith that works. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that the Thessalonians that were studying in the evening service, when they turned to God, they turned from their idols. Their salvation prompted a response in their life that they turned from idols unto God. Fifthly, fifth vital sign of living faith is in verse 19. Living faith believes God. It says, you believe there's one God? You do well. The demons believe. Verse 20, don't you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? One night, God showed Abraham, his servant, the stars, and he gave him a promise. And he said, your seed, your descendants will be like the stars. How did Abraham respond? He believed the Lord. And listen, it says in Genesis 15, the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. And that's the essence of salvation. The word counted is a legal term, and it means put into your account. And you and I are sinners. And like Abraham, we were spiritually bankrupt. Our bank books were empty at birth. But when we believe God, when we hear his word and respond in faith to it, God deposits into our bank books. He imputes to us his righteousness. We're all born spiritually bankrupt, but when we trust God, God puts righteousness on our account. Abraham did not work for righteousness. He received it as a gift. He was declared righteous. He was justified. That's what justification is all about. And living faith will believe God. When living faith hears the word of God, it responds in belief. Sixthly, living faith will obey God. Verse 21, wasn't Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac? Verse 22, you see, faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. What's he doing? He's saying he got saved back in verse 20, but the salvation showed up in his life because he started living a life of obedience. He offered Isaac. You see, there's a big space between those two events. His salvation in chapter 15 of Genesis and his obedience to God in chapter 22 of Genesis. Seven chapters, a long time of his life. And what he's saying is, faith isn't just a momentary event in the past that has no far-reaching and continuing effect. It's something that happened back then and it never stops. It keeps going through life and it keeps growing. And what he's saying is, justification is the act of God where we as believing sinners are declared righteous on the basis of Christ's finished work. And it's not a process, it's an act. But it's not something we do, it's something God did. But it never changes. And we can tell it happened to us back then because today in our life it's demonstrated by good works. We have made connection and the connection has produced an effect in our life. And God says, what I began, I finish. So living faith obeys God. Living faith believes God. Living faith, it displays itself by good works. Living faith produces fruit. Living faith promotes generosity. Living faith will change our heart. And here's the last one. Look at verse 23. Living faith loves God. Did you know that the bottom line of salvation is you love the Lord completely, fervently, passionately, more and more and more? Look what it says. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Look at verse 24. You see then, a man is justified by works, not by faith only. And then he talks about another Old Testament example. Likewise, wasn't Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers, sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Rahab heard the word. She knew her city was condemned, and the truth affected her and all the other people in Jericho so much that their hearts melted within them. But Rahab responded not only with her mind, knowing it was true the Israelites were powerful, not only with her emotion, she was afraid of God's judgment, but she responded with her will. She did something about it. The only person in Jericho that had saving faith was Rahab, because when she looked out and saw those armies, she said, I've heard that their God dried up the Nile River, and the Red Sea, and I heard that their God defeated Pharaoh's army, and I heard that their God is going to conquer Canaan. I want to associate with that God. He's the one that I want to be associated with. And through an act of her will, she did something. She responded to God. You see, saving faith, planted in the heart by God, produces the fruit of a response toward God, and that's the evidence of its reality.